Like Daksha Yagya, the sacrifices performed by Daksha. Tripura, the demon named Tripurasura. Kalagara, Kalagara. Adi, and others. Aneka, many. Bhuta Druha, who are meant for giving trouble to the living entities. Kshapa Yataha, being engaged in their destruction. Stutaye, your prayer. Na, not. Tat, that. Te, speaking to you. Yaha, to. Because. Antakale, at the time of annihilation. Idam, in this material world. Atma kritam, done by yourself. Swanetra, by your eyes. Vanis pulinga sikaya, by the sparks of fire. Basitam, burnt to ashes. Naveda, I do not know how it is happening. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. When annihilation is performed by the flames and sparks emanating from your eyes, the entire creation is burnt to ashes. Nonetheless, you do not know how this happens. What then is to be said of your destroying the Daksha Yagya, Tripurasura, and the Kalakuta poison? Such activities cannot be subject matters for prayers offered to you. Would you like to repeat? When annihilation is performed by the flames and sparks emanating from your eyes, the entire creation is burnt to ashes. Nonetheless, you do not know how this happens. What then is to be said of your destroying the Daksha Yagya, Tripurasura, and the Kalakuta poison? Such activities cannot be subject matters for prayers offered to you. Purport. Since Lord Shiva considers the great acts he performed to be very unimportant, what was to be said of counteracting the strong poison produced by the churning? Question mark. The demigods indirectly prayed that Lord Shiva counteract the Kalakuta poison which was spreading throughout the universe. End of purport. Should I stop there? That's the only verse? Okay, that makes okay. Okay. I'll read 3-3 to myself. Yetvatmarama gurubirhidichin titangri dvandvam charantam umaya tapasabitaptam katanta ugrap parusham niratam smasane tenu nam uttim avidham stavahata laja. Translation. Exalted, self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world, think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. Or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly, they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities. Purport. Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. It is therefore said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vighe Nabhujai. Even the most intelligent person cannot understand what a Vaishnava like Lord Shiva is doing or how he is acting. Those who are conquered by lusty desires and anger cannot estimate the glories of Lord Shiva, whose position is always transcendental. In all the activities associated with lusty desires, Lord Shiva is an implement of Atma Rama. Ordinary persons, therefore, should not try to understand Lord Shiva and his activities. One who tries to criticize the activities of Lord Shiva is shameless. End of purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Yatati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Kama dvara tripura kala gadada neka bhuta druha kshapayata stutate natate stutate stutaye natate yastvanta kala idam atma kritam sanetra vanis pulinga shikaya basitam naveda. So there are two verses here this morning to be discussed. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for this opportunity to meditate on the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is meant for purifying the whole world, purifying our consciousness. It's a great opportunity, and it's a great blessing to be sitting with all the Vaishnavas to be discussing these points. Today we are discussing the prayers of the Prajapatis, who are addressing Lord Shiva. The address is quite fantastic. It's actually not an address befitting Lord Shiva alone, because Lord Shiva is not independent. Lord Shiva is completely dependent. He's dependent on Lord Vishnu, the same as Lord Brahma is dependent on Lord Vishnu. So when such persons are given glorification are called by the title of Bhagavan, sometimes they are called like this, Mahadev, Bhagavan, Ishvara also. Especially when the devotees and the demigods are addressing them, they're addressing them in their relationship with Vishnu. Means that if Vishnu empowers them, then they can live up to such titles. Otherwise, they do not have the power to do so. So here, the Prajapatis, they are glorifying the power of Lord Shiva, saying that when annihilation is performed simply by the flames and sparks that are coming from his eyes, try to understand the context of what's being said. If we can broaden our minds outside of this room, like yesterday we went down for Harinam, down to the city. So many of these buildings, huge buildings. Is the Trump building, we saw the Trump building here? Is it downtown or was that in Canada? It's here. Huge building. So many huge buildings. And these are just in one city. And this city is in one continent of America. North America. And so many cities around the world, so many buildings, so many huge monstrosities. And then these are all situated on one planet, in one universe. And just by the glance of Lord Shiva, he can annihilate the whole thing, just by the flames coming from his eyes. Just to give some context on the sort of being we're talking about, tremendous power, superhuman powers. But that personality is not independent. He's completely dependent on Lord Vishnu. So when he's being addressed here by the Prajapatis, they're speaking about him in relationship with Lord Vishnu. He's very powerful, but he's not independent. Just like we may be empowered with some specific opulence, but the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. So we have to be very humble. Very, very humble and very grateful for anything we get in the service of the Lord. Any empowerment, any blessings, any ability. It's all coming from Krishna. What's the verse in Bhagavad Gita? Which says, I am the ability in man. Who can say? Rasoham apsukunteya prabhasmi sashisoya pranava sarvavedeshu shabdike purusham nishu. That I am the taste in water. I am the light of the sun and moon. That's going in your eyes. I am the syllable of the pranava umkar, and I am the sound and ether and the ability in man. So Krishna is explaining that he is the ability in man. So Lord Shiva is also, although he's a special tattva, he's not Vishnu tattva, he's not Jiva tattva, he's a special tattva, all on his own, Shiva tattva. He's not an ordinary being, but he's not a completely independent being like Lord Vishnu. So the Prajapatis are addressing him knowing this, saying all these wonderful things which you've already read in previous verses. And he's being addressed with such power, with such amazing activities, like destroying the Daksha Yagya and defeating the demon Tripurasura and drinking the Kalakuta poison. So wonderful activities have been performed by Lord Shiva. And so the verse, the first verse, text number 32, says that such activities cannot be subject matters for prayers offered to you. This indicates that there's prayers that should be offered to someone behind Lord Shiva, that he is merely a puppet in the hands of Lord Vishnu. And his main function is destruction. So it's quite ironic that the Prajapatis are coming to him to save them from the Kalakuta poison, which has happened from the churning of the milk ocean. They're coming to ask him to save him, but his main duty is to destroy everything. So they're addressing Lord Shiva, but they're actually addressing Lord Vishnu. They know that he is a puppet. They know that he is an instrument of Lord Sri Vishnu. So, continue in text 33. Exalted, self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world think of your lotus feet constantly within their heart. However, when persons who do not know your austerity, seeing you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. Or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities. Who is the person we hear from Bhagavatam who misunderstood even slightly the activities of Lord Shiva with his divine consort? And he was punished. Chitraketa Maharaj, yes. And he became Vritrasura, yes. And he was flying in his airplane and he looked and he saw that there was Lord Shiva and he's giving class and he's sitting on the asana with him was his consort sitting beside him. Chitraketa Maharaj is saying, oh my God, only Lord Shiva could get away with this. Only he could, you know, only he could pull this off. You know, sitting on the asana, giving pravachan and sitting there with his consort. Amazing. And then his wife Uma, she saw this. She became very disturbed. Even though he wasn't criticizing, he was actually glorifying in jest, so to speak. Only such a powerful person like Sri Shiva could get away with it. But there was a hint of disregard. So therefore his consort became disturbed. She's very protective. And she cursed him to become a demon, Vritrasura. So the point Srila Prabhupada brings out from this is that, first of all, Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava, the greatest. Vaishnavanam yata Shambhu. The Shambhu is the topmost Vaishnava. One of the names of Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Yes? It means that he is easily satisfied. Your name is Ashutosh? Or your name is Ashutosh? So, it means one who is easily satisfied. And many people, they worship Lord Shiva because he's easily satisfied. And he will give benedictions to them easily. So people will come to him and say, please, my dear Lord, O Mahadev, oh, please, give me. I want this, I want that. House by the sea and a color TV, Jaya Jagadisha, Hari. give me something. And he's not bothered, he gives it. Why? Because he just take it, just leave me alone. What is he doing, though? Why is he? Because it's explained here that he is Atmaram. Means he's self-satisfied. He's completely satisfied. So, it's just like we're sitting down for japa, you know? We sit down in the morning, put our mat down, we have our little blue block, we have our mat, japa bag, we have water, we're sitting down, and we're just about to start. This is your temple commander, temple president, or, you know, ashram in charge. He's sitting down, festival in charge, pujari who got the morning off. Just about to sit down, okay Krishna, just me and you, just 2 hours, I'm just going to be with you. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Gurudev, for this opportunity. And then you just sit down, Namo Om Vishnu Pada. And then, sorry Prabhu, Prabhu, just one thing. We have this thing in our department, actually we need your help, can you come immediately? Or can we have this float? For this project. You know, can you give me the key for this room? I know nobody is supposed to go into this room, but can you give me the key? And you're like, just take it. Just take it. Leave me alone. Just take it. Why? Because you want to get absorbed in the holy name. So Lord Shiva, he's Ashutosh. He just wants to be connected with Lord Vishnu. That's why he's holding his Rudraksha beads. He's chanting japa. He's meditating on Lord Vishnu. He's meditating. And someone comes and says, yes, just take it. Just take it. Be satisfied with these material things. Because he's completely Atmaram. He doesn't need anything. And people consider his material appearance to be something to be criticized. But in actuality, it's a symptom of one of his opulences, of renunciation. He can sit under a tree, he can sit there in deerskin, he can sit there chanting. He's not worried about if he's clean or if he's not clean. He's completely absorbed, Atmaram. And he's also dhira. Dhira means he's completely sober. Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Shiva when he's speaking about this principle of dhira, being sober. Srila Prabhupada says that one devotee has to become dhira, sober, just like Lord Shiva. The Lord Shiva is sitting in meditation and his wife, Parvati, she comes and she wants to have union with him. So She tries to disturb him, tries to agitate him by caressing his genital, Shiva Lingam. And you can imagine, she's such a beautiful creature. You walk around downtown, you look, try and find the most beautiful woman that you can find. Not for brahmacharis, and not even for grihasthas. Actually, don't do this at all. But if you did, just by a bad habit, if you did, if you did do this. So she's extremely, exquisitely beautiful. And she's just so submissive. I just want to please you. I just want to have union with you. And Lord Shiva sitting there, not disturbed at all. This is Dhira. This is Dhira. Sometimes we're preaching out in the field, and we are preaching to, as young men or young women, we are preaching to boys and girls. And we preach to them, we distribute books to them, and then they become attached to us. And then we bring them to temple, and their relationship becomes a little bit more, and they become attached. They become very submissive. They become very attracted by our knowledge, by our morals, by our purity. And we can become, you know, I can be the guru here. I can be the boss here. I can be Krishna. I can really be someone here. I have real power over this person. So only someone who is Dhira will not exploit that. Like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur sitting in his cave. And he became famous as a great renunciate, a great saint. But Ramachandra Khan, he was not having it. The Zamindar of that era, he was not having. He was really envious of this Haridas Thakur. So he sent one of the most beautiful, talented prostitutes in the area to his cave. And she came and she said, "Yoo-hoo! Oh, you, powerful boy, you are so beautiful. You are just at the prime age for enjoyment. You are so handsome. Please, I am so lonely. And I am of the right age for enjoyment, just as you are. Please, enjoy with me tonight." And Haridas Thakur, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. "Certainly, my dear lady, I will enjoy with you. But just wait one moment. I just have to finish my rounds." So she sits there. "I just have to complete my vow." So she sits there and she's hearing Hai Nam, Namachaya Haridas Thakur chanting Shuddha Nam, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I can imitate. So, and she's hearing. And then she sleeps. She wakes up the next morning and realizes that she has not been successful. So she reports back to her solicitor, Ramachandra Khan. And she says, "One more time. Give me one more chance." So she goes again. And again, Haridas Thakur, "Dhira. Definitely, oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry. I'm sorry about last night. I know I said I would satisfy all your desires. I'm so sorry. But tonight, as soon as I finish, I just have to, a few more rounds, that's all." So she sat and she was hearing Hari, 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 Hari. It was going deeper and deeper into her consciousness, into her heart. And then again, another night passed. And then on the third night, she confessed that she was a solicitor. She was hired by Ramachandra Khan only to make him fall. And she became a surrendered disciple of Haridas Thakur. And he gave her his own bhajan kutir, and he told her to worship Tulsi Maharani and chant a fixed number of rounds every day. And first she was to go and give up all of her property, all of her wealth, and then come back and take to this bhajan. So Dhira, he was completely Dhira, not disturbed in the least. And he wasn't averse. It wasn't like some of our brahmacharis, like I know I've been, you know, you know, or not even brahmacharis, even bachelors who are giggling. But not even, it's like, oh, I cannot talk, I have to be averse. It's the other side of attachment, but it's necessary for a time, for a period, to keep ourselves away from the senses. But Haridas Thakur is not attached, not averse, completely indifferent. Be able to be a gentleman with this lady. Sorry, my dear mother, yes, definitely I will satisfy you. Please sit. No worries. So that's Dira. So we can see where we're at, if we're Dira or if we're not Dira. And we shouldn't try to imitate also. There's this pastime of the guru and the disciple. And the guru was speaking about this verse, Vidvams api karshati. You know this verse where one should not sit alone in a room with one's mother, daughter, and so forth. Because the senses are so strong that they can come overcome a man even of great intelligence. Vidvans. Vidvan. Even someone who is so learned. The senses can overcome and take over. We have some. Oh, we have a blind coming now. You want to pull it down, Prabhu? Will it work? You want to pull down the blind? Oh, there's no blind. Okay, sorry. So, am I supposed to stop now or something? What time should I stop? 8:30. 8:30 is usual time. Okay. I was wondering why there's such going on at 8:20. So, Vidvam. So the disciple was hearing the discussion on this verse. And he is thinking, I'm free from lust. I'm free from this lust. I could sit alone in the room with my mother and my sister, any other woman. I'd be okay, no problem. So the spiritual master detected this arrogance, this false sense of certainty in his character. So when this disciple is going back to his hermitage, he's living alone in sattvic place, peaceful place, you know. Got it going on. Perfect. Everything's nice. Nice forest. Nice hut. So on his way back, he goes into his hermitage and there's a tremendous storm out of nowhere. And then the rain starts coming down, lashing on his hermitage. And then all of a sudden he hears a rattle on the door. And he's saying, who could that be in this storm at this time of... And then he opens the door and lo and behold, there's this beautiful, delicate young lady. And she's soaked to the bone and all of her clothes are wet. She's soaked. Oh, dear sage, please give me shelter here in your cottage, in your hermitage. The rain is so ferocious. Please give me shelter. And he's like, okay, my dear, you can come in, but you will stay in the porch. You can stay here in the veranda. You can stay here. So she comes in and she's shivering. And then he goes into his room, closes the door. And then he's sitting there and he's thinking, what kind of demon am I? You know, what kind of cruel person am I? I left her shivering there. She's wet, soaking. She's going to get sick. She could die. At least I should give her the other room. So he goes and says, my dear lady, you please go into this room. And he puts her in the room, which is not so well furnished. And he goes back into his own room. And he's like, yes, that's okay. She's okay there. But she's still wet. And there's a draft in that room. You know, it's not a dry place. She's shivering. And he's thinking, oh. So then he goes into the room and he's seeing her shivering. And his heart becomes completely pierced with affection. And he says, my dear lady, I think I have to marry you. He tries to embrace her. And then immediately, the guru appears from the same form and says, Vidvams api nakarshati. Vidvams api. Never alone in a room with your mother or daughter, any woman. Never. So it was actually a spiritual master who had staged the whole thing just to teach him a lesson. So we shouldn't try to imitate or falsely think that we are Dira, like Haridas Thakur or Lord Shiva. But how to become Dira, that is also given in one lecture by Srila Prabhupada. He said that before we can become Dira, we have to become gentle. And how we can become gentle is that every man should see every woman except his wife as mother, should address every woman as mother. So this is particularly applicable for brahmacharis. When we go out for sankirtan, for book distribution, it's a great opportunity to practice this. Even if we cannot address all women as mothers directly, but we can have that mentality. Hare Krishna. Even if the woman is of a similar age, younger. Then we have to, brahmachari means that they go from house to house begging alms, saying, "Dear mother, please give me some alms for a guru." So this is the mood. This is the mood. When we practice this, then we can become very self-controlled and very gentle. And then when we're in the vicinity, when we're in the association of the objects of the senses, then we practice that self-control. We practice that gentle mood. We become dhira. We become very sober. And this is the platform, the springboard, if you like, for practicing transcendental activities, to become dhira, sober. If we don't do this, then we will always be disturbed in the association of the objects of the senses. If we don't practice this, seeing every woman as mother, becoming gentle, then we will always be subject to the temptations of this world, and we'll be trapped. Samsara chakra, we'll be trapped. Even if we go up for some time based on austerity or based on renunciation, but if we haven't developed this sobriety and gentleness, then we will be attracted again to the material world. So, Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava, and because he is Vaishnava, he is Dhira. So when one sees such a personality as Lord Shiva seemingly acting in a lusty way, sitting with his wife, for instance, or acting in an unclean way, you know, hanging around in crematoriums and we cannot judge personalities who are so exalted. We are not in the position to judge. There's many sayings throughout many different religious and spiritual traditions which emphasize this point, that before you try to see someone else's faults, then you have to remove the faults from our own consciousness. In the Bible it says, before removing the log or the splinter from someone else, you have to remove the log from one's own eye. Physician, heal thyself. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur of our Vaishnava school, he explains when faults in others delude you, he said, have patience, introspect, know that no one can harm you unless you harm yourself. Usually we legitimize, or we say, "Oh, I can judge because I'm trying to protect myself from bad association." And that's, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, that there are constructive criticisms that are to be made to protect ourselves, to protect community, protect society at large. We have to be in a position, we have to be in a sober position. We have to check our position before we start to judge others and we start to observe others. We have to be in knowledge. We have one godbrother, his name is Gaur Gopal Prabhu. He gives a nice seminar on fault finding. Has anyone ever seen that? Fault finding and criticizing. I highly recommend it. I've memorized it. It's very amazing. He gives an acronym of fault, F-A-U-L-T. And he gives so many nice examples there. I highly recommend it because it helps us to understand that we are not to judge. We are not to judge. And because time is ticking, I cannot go into it. But the point is that Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vignay Nabujay, that we cannot understand the activities of an advanced Vaishnava. So we should just offer respect. Manina manadena. If we offer respect and we don't expect respect for ourselves, then we can happily perform our bhajan, kirtanya sadahari. We can happily perform our devotional service. We can happily, peacefully glorify the Lord in whatever anga of devotional service we're performing. And we can also become atmaram. We can also become completely satisfied in that service. Completely satisfied. Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Instruction that the symptom of one who's really advanced, nindadi shunya shridam ipshita sangalabdi, that he's nindadi shunya, that there's no propensity in his heart for finding faults in others. There's no propensity in his heart. He doesn't want to find the fault in others. What's there to benefit? If it's not his position to fix it. How can we help others? They have to want to help themselves. And if they want to help themselves, then they will approach someone for help. Nindadi sunyam ridim. The propensity is there, is not there, completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Because they're completely absorbed, just like Sri Lord Shiva. He doesn't want to see the bad in others. He has nothing to benefit, gain from taking the good from others. He's just completely satisfied in his service to the Lord and his meditation on the Lord. So this is our goal in this Krishna consciousness movement. This is the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That in the last 18 years of his life, completely absorbed in bhajan, completely absorbed in Gambira, completely oblivious to the external world. When he entered into his bhajan, completely oblivious. So this is the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Atmaram. And Srila Prabhupada, he gave more scope to this principle. When he was giving the name to one of his disciples, Bhavananda. Bhavananda asked him, what does this name mean? Is it Bhavananda or Bhavananda? If it's Bhavananda, it means like the bliss of spiritual emotions. But if it's Bhavananda, Srila Prabhupada says, yes, it's Bhavananda, short A. It means the bliss of the material world. What's the bliss of the material world? To preach, exactly. The bliss of the material world is preaching. So, if we want to be self-satisfied, the example is given by Srila Prabhupada. Preach, preach, preach to your last breath. Preach, preach, preach. Because the safest place in the material world is vibrating the holy instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vibrating the holy name of the Lord. Otherwise, we're finished. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nastieva, 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 Gataranyata. If we're not controlling our mind and senses, if we're not controlling our environment by keeping the vibration going, as Vaisheshika Prabhu says, keep the vibration going. If we're not controlling our mind, if we're not controlling our environment, then somebody else is. Some instrument of Maya is. And it just takes a moment. In like a needle and out like a nuclear bomb. Solin as Radhanath Swami says in one class. Usually it's in like a needle and out like a plow. No, a needle goes in and then comes out like a... But he says, in like a needle, Maya comes in very softly, in like a needle, and then out like a... Completely blows your life to smithereens. So we have to be cautious. Because if we want to become sober, dhira, we have to be very, very much on guard. And it starts with this principle, being gentle. Gentle, seeing all women as mothers. Then gentleness comes, and self-control, dhira. And then from that platform, we can become Vaishnava. In essence, Vaishnava proper. So the time is up. There is so much to say actually in this pastime, but we don't want to outstay our welcome on the Vyasa-san. So thank you very much for this opportunity to purify my heart and to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. Thank you very much for your kind attention. And if you want to practice Kirtanya Sadahari, being gentle, today, then we will be going on Harinam at 3 p.m. We'll be leaving here, 3 p.m. And so anyone who is free or can be freed up or has a desire to be freed up, then you can say a prayer to the most beautiful Kishore Kishori and Shishi Gornatai, Jagannath Balde Subhadra, and you can ask them to be freed from whatever it is, or to have your services covered, so you can come on Harinam today, if it's possible. We'd be very, very happy to have as many devotees as possible to spread the holy names throughout this city, which is a very, very important city. Actually, there's a part in His Holiness Radhanath Swami in his book, when he met one sadhu, and he told the sadhu where he was from. He said, I am from Chicago, Illinois. And the sadhu said, oh. Sadhu never left India. He said, oh, that's where they kill so many cows. They have one of the biggest abattoirs here, biggest slaughterhouses here. Such a sinful place. Oh, such a sinful place. And he was Richard then. He said, he was, how does he know about this place? He said, the glories of Chicago are being spread worldwide. It's so infamous, such a sinful place, such a heavy place. You look at the people, they are in dire need of Harinam Sankirtan. They are in dire need of some transcendental vibration. So we are here for a few days only, and I'm sure you're doing Harinam regularly. And it can only be increased book distribution, Harinam, prasadam distribution, you know. Most people are on the platform of Anamoy, you know. There is me and there is food. So if we make nice, sumptuous nectar prasadam that they cannot do without, some nectar halava, and these being distributed as food for the soul, make them favorable to hearing the Maha Mantra, and then chant for their transcendental pleasure, for purification. This place needs it. Chicago needs it. Of all the places in the world, this place is really top of the list as a residence of Kali. So it needs a strong army of Lord Chaitanya soldiers. So if we can gather a few more soldiers today for Harinam, we'll be a great benediction for the city of Chicago. So we'll stop here. If there's any comments, corrections, please, if there's some corrections, I'm full of faults. And if there's any questions, yeah, please, correction or comment. Oh, good.
Thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So I was wondering, how do we understand if this prayer is connected with Shiva, connected with Vishnu? Because, you know, in the verse, it doesn't seem like it's for Vishnu also. It just seems like it's for Shiva. Yeah. Also, Vishnu he's actually there also. So, and like you said, they're calling for help. Yeah. And Vishnu is there. So how do we understand that this prayer is connected with Vishnu?
Yeah. The only reference I have is the purport to text number 30 or 21, where the Prajapatis, they start to speak. And they say, "O greatest of all demigods, Mahadev, super soul of all living entities, and cause of their happiness and prosperity. Now, we have come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery position which is spreading all over the world." Or three worlds. So Prabhupada's purport. "Since Lord Shiva is in charge of annihilation, why should he be approached for protection?" Yes? "Which is given by Lord Vishnu." It's a question mark. "Lord Brahma creates and Lord Shiva annihilates. But both Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are incarnations of Lord Vishnu and are known as Shakti Avesh avatars," which means they are wearing the dress of empowerment. "They are endowed with a special power like that of Lord Vishnu, who is actually all-pervading in their activities." So in their activities, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu is all-pervading. "Therefore, whenever prayers for protection are offered to Lord Shiva, actually Lord Vishnu is indicated. For otherwise, Lord Shiva is meant for destruction. Lord Shiva is one of the Ishvaras, or the controllers known as Shakti Avesh avatars. Therefore, he can be addressed as having the qualities of Lord Vishnu." So this is all I can say on the subject matter. It's the limit of my range is Prabhupada's purport, which is quite comprehensive. It describes that what I described in the class. So, I guess the demigods, they know these different... There's an etiquette... Just like in, there's a diplomacy. There's this, I don't know if it applies here, but one philosophical speculation. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, when Dhritarashtra, or what's his name? Duryodhan. Who's the son? Duryodhan. Duryodhan is figuring out who does he glorify first. Bhishma Dev or Dronacharya? And So he glorifies Dronacharya first, right? Because he's a Brahmana. And Bhishma is a Kshatriya, so he won't mind. He knows the etiquette and he won't mind, even though Bhishma is the grandsire. So he's being very diplomatic. So sometimes in dealings, maybe amongst the more cultured beings, there's this kind of etiquette that's there in order to honor one person, but actually address another person. See, I mean, I don't know. I'm not of that culture. I'm from Malecha Desh, but this is philosophical speculation. Other than Prabhupada's purport, that's all I can offer. Yes. Anyone else would like to say something? Knows anything further on this point? Yes, sir. On this point or something different?
This point.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. In one of the earlier classes, Nityananda Prabhu, the temple president, he mentioned that Krishna loves to glorify his devotees. And the way he explained it is, he's always looking for chances to, you know, give his devotees some glorification. So he just planned that Shiva should, you know, drink the poison.
Wow, that's nice. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Nice point. Anyone else? Any other questions? No? Thank you. You have the final word. Grantrashima Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.